You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I don't want to think about what I would be without Him. Amen? So if we don't have anything else to be thankful for tonight, I'm thankful that we don't have to be without Him. I'm thankful that He wants to be with me as much as I want to be with Him. That didn't even, I didn't even get but one yes on that one. I'm going to say it one more time. The power of agreement is what makes things happen. He wants to be with me as bad as I want to be with Him. But He made the decision first. Amen? All right. Y'all may be seated. I think we need to take the offering tonight if we've got some volunteers to do that. Whether it's tithe or offering or an alm of some type you want to give, please know that God knows every penny that you give with a joyful heart to Him. And there's promises locked into that. Reward. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for Your people. We thank You for the ability to give back to You. Now we do that with enthusiasm and expectation, and we do it in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, says, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you are ready to do some listening, some believing, maybe a little bit of study tonight? Come on, make up your mind. Make up your mind beforehand. I promise you, God forced me to attend a church one time for quite some time. I know what being in the presence of enemies are. But He asked me to stay for a purpose, and I did. I know what it's like to have to listen. When you don't like somebody, and God wants you to be there anyway. Now, what I'm doing is I'm covering whether you like me or not. You got to listen. That's what I'm telling you. And I used to sit about where she sits on the aisle, and I would force myself. I would listen so carefully so that I knew that somewhere in that message there was something I could say amen about, and I was looking for it. Because if God wanted me to be there, I don't care how bad the situation, He had a reward for me. And He'd give it to me if I showed up. So if it's the sacrifice of listening tonight, you do that. You sit there on the edge of your seat waiting for something that God's fixing to say to you. And I promise you, He never fails. Amen? All right. I'm stalling just a moment just to make sure I'm doing the right thing, going the right direction. I have two directions tonight, and I want to make sure it's the right one for your benefit. God is I'll testify to you tonight. God is getting close. I don't know if that goes against the presence of God series that I taught you, but I'm telling you, He's quicker than I am, and He's beginning to show that. Now let me explain what I mean. Everybody knew He's quicker than I am, but let me tell you what I mean by that. He's beginning to do things to me and for me before I can ask them. When they're first a glimmer of thought, or maybe I didn't even know I was having a thought and it came to me because He's already doing it. And I went through my regular procedure tonight before I went to church. I went to the hot tub. I want to be alone. I want to listen to God. And I usually start praying before I ever get in the hot tub. And as I opened the lid of that thing and began to get in, He said, I know. Wait a minute, God, I hadn't said anything yet. He said, I already know. And the answer is yes, and don't you worry about it. Okay. You know, you kind of want to say, what was I going to ask? But that would be questioning Him, wouldn't it? And by the time He got through answering my questions before I asked the questions, all there was left to do was to praise. And I got excited because one of the things He said, I always ask for a word for you, not for me. I always say, your people need you tonight. Would you use this vessel for them? And He said, I know that. I'll take care of it. And as I got to thinking about it, He said, you don't have to ask me. I put that in you. Now listen to what I'm saying. I put that in you. You're saying what I put in you, therefore I already know what it is, and the answer is yes. Whoa, what's left? Thank you. And I started to say several things in that vein, and He said, I put it in you. What? I believe He's getting tired of hearing the things we say. Except, thank you. I praise you. God gave me a thought one time, and this was it. What would you do if you were me and had to listen to all this stuff? I'd tell them where to go. Because most of it's doubt and unbelief and fear. If I believe that God hears and answers every prayer and I pray it one time, why'd I pray it the second time for? The second time I should be thanking Him for it if He's heard and answered. And then what's really cool is I believe He's taking us to a place where He's going to answer before we have the thought process. Because He puts the desire, and before it can come out of their mouth, He says, okay, that'd be kind of exciting. Unless you just want to do all the talking. Then you're out of luck. I want to talk to you tonight, I believe, about God's rose-colored glasses. God impressed me early this morning about His rose-colored glasses, how He looks at us. You know, I'm sitting here thinking about these glasses. Why do I have these glasses? Don't get smart and say, so you can see. Because I can see right now. Why? What? Because I can see better. I can see more correctly this way than I can this way. My wife decided to razz me one time when I got glasses. And she said, oh, you're getting old now. You have to wear glasses. And I said, I know now why I have to wear glasses. Or why your eyes change when you get a little older. She said, why is that? I said, because you're getting older too. Do you know she doesn't have any wrinkles or anything when I don't have these on? Listen, men always have the last word. Always have the last word. It's good for the house. Now I want to give you an example. Jesus taught in the Bible, He taught with parables. You know what a parable is? It's an example that you're familiar with. Whether it's farming or ranching, fishing, He had used all those a lot. He used people always for examples, so we can use examples without talking about people. By the way, there is nothing else to talk about except people. It's the best example in the world is people. Talk about yourself and nothing else. My example. Early this morning, as I was praying and thinking, at God's request, I don't wake up early on purpose. He wakes me up. This is the example He used. To me, Connie's the most beautiful woman I've ever met in my life. She's the sexiest woman. It hasn't changed in 20 years. I like to see her come, and I enjoy watching her go. I miss her when she's not there, even if she's not far. Reagan said of his wife one time, she's the only person in the world that I can be in a room of 200 people, and when she leaves, I get lonely. Now, if you don't feel that way about your wife, talk to God, not to your wife. She's desirable, she's intelligent, and she belongs to me. Because she said so. Now I want you to go. After we got up and around on the way to the office, I shared that with her. And a response came that I wasn't expecting. Usually there's just silence. She said, you make me beautiful. She said, you make me feel beautiful in this world. You make me feel those things that you just talked about because you see me that way. Our pastor's been talking about we have what we see, right? It's nice of God to visit and explain to me sometimes these things. Now here's the thing. There's some of you that might disagree with me that she's the most beautiful woman on the face of the earth. Is there something wrong with your sight? Is there something wrong with mine? Then why don't we see the same? Why can't you see what I see? My judgment different? Your judgment? Are you deceived? My eyes have been corrected by the blood of Jesus. I look at her with rose-colored glasses, blood-tinted glasses. God has designed her for me and allowed me and caused me to see that. This is the most important thing. Many times God designs two people to be each other, with each other, and they refuse to see it. This is not a struggle. Please listen to me for a second. I am not struggling to love her. All I have to do is wake up. God has already put that in me, the desire of my heart. God gives me the desires of my heart. That means He puts the desires in and then fulfills them. It doesn't mean that I can name it, claim it, even though that's part of the word. That's not what it means. It means He puts the desires in my heart and then fulfills the desires. Causes my eyes. Let me tell you something. You remember what I just referred to as both of us are getting older? If it were the youth, if it were only the looks, if it were only the conversation, we used to play basketball like maniacs. We've done a lot of it. We don't do that much anymore. You see, things start changing, but the eyesight is getting better. You understand what I'm saying? My vision of her is getting better, not we've lost these things, so you're playing out on me, I'm going to trade you in for a younger version. Could I do that? Yeah. Would it please God? No. I have a choice. I want to put feet on this. Since you can't have her, my example, I want to change this into what I believe, how and what God believes or sees when He looks at us. Now, I didn't pay a lot for her. I think I chased her until she caught me. I think that's what happened. Our God chased us both until He put us together. God the Father paid, excuse me for a moment, but the highest price that was ever paid was paid by God the Father, not Jesus the Son. He gave His only begotten Son. It would be harder to put your son to death than it would to take the death yourself. He did it for you and I. He didn't do it for his son, and he didn't do it for himself. He did it for you and I. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why did he want to do that? Because you and I were ugly. We were ugly to the bone. Our blood was ugly. Our thoughts were ugly. Our insides were ugly. Oh, and no paper bag would help. Nothing would help. Because we smelled ugly. We talked ugly. We couldn't fellowship with him anymore. And he missed us. He missed us. He needed something to correct the vision. He needed something to correct the vision. How was he going to do that? Well, there's two ways that you and I do this. Number one, I thought she's pretty the day I saw her. I think she's prettier now. That's because my vision is being corrected as I go. What? Blood of Jesus, will of God. Blood of Jesus, will of God. The blood of Jesus, the will of God. God took the blood of his son. How can I say this? He did not spray the world with it. He laid it out there for us to wash it with this promise. The ugly, the danger, the foul will go if you will partake, if you will be washed in this blood that I have given you. Now, I've been around church a long time, and I promise you this. I've seen a lot of people born again, and I've never yet seen one of them change that minute. They look the same when they walked out as when they walked in. Isn't that pretty much your experience too? So, what happened? Because the Bible says you are now a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things, including you, have become new. Now, wait a minute. You guys try to analyze Scripture once in a while. It really helps you if you do. Put feet on it. That's what I call it. Put feet on it. Now, I've seen some dirty, rotten characters saved. And they were dirty, rotten looking when they walked out to me. But they weren't to God. What changed? He had vision correction, didn't he? He had vision correction. Before, he could see the flesh and he could see all that dirty that was involved in the flesh. He took these rose-colored, polarized glasses that reflected the glare of the flesh. And he looked through this blood-coated lens and all he can see is the most beautiful creation in the world. One that is perfect. One that is never getting old. One that is totally forgiven and redeemed. He adores us. We have become a thing of treasure and beauty. And God the Father sees us that way. Now come on. I'm not asking for how you feel. I'm asking you to believe the Word. I asked somebody the other day. I'll ask my wife now. I'll give you some fits. You feel saved? Sometimes? What does it feel like? Better than when I'm not. So that's not a feeling. I couldn't get anybody to tell me what it felt like to be saved. You know why? It's not a feeling. It's a fact. It's a fact that may give you a feeling. See, if you were overboard, man overboard, you're in peril. Somebody throws you a life preserver. They save you from peril into safety. What's the feeling? The fact is you were in trouble and now you're not. That's a fact. It requires no feeling. So what I'm telling you right now is that God did not wait for you to feel saved. Because he'd be waiting a long time for some people. And I'll tell you, I'll describe to you why. Because the Bible talks about those that have been saved from many, many bad sins. They value their salvation more than the ones that have never committed very many sins. So it can't be feeling, it's got to be a fact. You know what's a fact? I'm not just saved. I am a treasure. You are a treasure in God's eyes. Because he looks through the blood. He doesn't look through the blood at everybody. He wants to, but not everybody will be washed clean. What does it mean to... I don't think I'm going to do my notes today. What does it mean to wash clean? A lot of descriptions in the Bible, and they're strange. One of them is, this red, red, crimson blood washes you white as snow. Doesn't compute, but it's the truth. So turn your computer off and get into God's and just believe it. I don't know how red blood makes things white as snow. I don't even know if you'd put blood on something, it don't clean anything. It makes it dirty. It messes it up bad. It stains it. And yet this blood removes the stains. Listen to me. It removes the stains. Then why do we have so much trouble with the stains? The pastor's been talking about guilt. He's talking about the stains. They're not supposed to be there. You know why? Because we don't see ourselves the way God sees us. We refuse. See, my wife can sit here and argue with me all day long that she's not the most beautiful woman in the world, and as long as she says it, she's right in her eyes. She won't change mine. I'm too hard-headed. But she's right in her eyes. And the Christian community, those people that have taken advantage of the blood pool, they've been cleansed. They've got two choices. They can believe that God washes all stains away, or they can hold on to some of the stains. And God spends the rest of your life trying to figure out why in the world you don't just go ahead and dive in like He told us to. Hardest thing in the world. I'm not talking about any of this being easy. But what makes it easy is if we fellowship and commune with God, He will tell me how much He loves me as much as I tell her how much I love her, which is often. I don't want her to ever guess about it. And God's better at it than I am to her, much better. Why? He's more believable than I am. He doesn't know how to even make a mistake, much less lie. So not only does He know what to say, He knows how to say it and when to say it. The Bible tells me that I am a vision of beauty and worth and treasure in His eyes. Can we go to 2 Corinthians? I'm going to hit a couple of these quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Now, let me just read it to you. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer, or no longer in the flesh. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, is this a promise? Is it the truth? Do you believe it? Then you're not going to remember bad things anymore, right? Against me, are you? You're going to begin to see yourself, number one, as Christ sees you, and others, number two, as Christ sees them. Why? Well, if you're really serious about this, you have no choice. He's going to cause it to happen. He's going to make it to happen. Why? Because you're serious. You're serious about the Word. You know the Word works. You're going to believe it until it does work. I don't care if an angel sits down beside you, like the pastor's been talking about, or if it takes a while. Either way, we're going to do it. Who we're going to do? We don't do anything. We just believe it. God does the doing. If you do it, it's going to be messed up. Don't do it. Accept the promises of God. Believe the promises of God, and He will hasten to do His Word in you. Speak the Word. Believe the Word. It's in you. He will do it. He'll hasten to do it the more you believe. And by the way, I am so happy about that angel visiting Doyle. I am happy about that. You know why? Because that's what it took. I want you to understand. That's what it took for deliverance for Doyle. What's your point? God's going to do whatever it takes. Maybe Doyle was hard-headed. Maybe he just had too much baggage. I don't know, and I don't care. What excites me is God will do whatever it takes for the deliverance. I wasn't all that bad a sinner, but I carried an awful lot of baggage, most of it religious. And I remember fretting and worrying about this forgiveness stuff. Man, I'd rather kill him than forgive him. I'll just ask for forgiveness as soon as I kill him. Don't tempt God. I remember one day, after many, many days and hours of praying, by the inspiration of God, I said, okay, God. Okay, I'm ready to get hurt again. Let's go. What kind of confession is that? Well, what that told me, without me knowing, is I confessed by hearing, and by hearing, I knew that my guilt, my religion, my process was tainted because I didn't want to get hurt again. That was the basis of all of this defense. I'd been hurt. The people that I trusted the most had hurt me. And I wasn't going to have that again. I wasn't going to sin. But I wasn't going to have that again. So how do you work that out? I just don't have anything to do with anybody. The whole world. Me and God. What was that? The crocodile guy. Huh? Yeah. He was out there one time. He said, me and God are mates. Man, you talk about an impressive statement. Me and God are mates. That's what I said. I have a lot more fun out in the country walking the roads and praying. The presence of God is all over. I enjoy that. Every time I get around people, I'm serious as I'll get out. You can call it angelic. It came out of me, this confession. Okay, God, I am ready to be hurt again. You know what God did with that? He didn't make me vulnerable. I'm less vulnerable now because I'm ready for it. I've made a commitment. It doesn't make any difference if I get hurt again or not. God, we're mates. I'm going where you're taking. I'm going where you're leading. I don't know if I'll get through with this, but I got to give you a little testimony. Saturday night, some of you were there. My wife, miraculously, by the way, I'll say that, pulled off a surprise birthday party. That was Saturday night, wasn't it? Pulled off two, one on Friday afternoon and one on Saturday night. And the surprise was, it was large enough to where it's impossible to keep the secret. And I was sitting here Sunday when he was talking about forgiveness and what it brings. And I got to thinking, I had a bunch of enemies in that room. The guy that caused me the most trouble and the woman that caused me the most trouble, they were there. And I bought their dinner. And I paid for the band they could listen to and rented the room. Grudgingly or begrudgingly? No, not at all. I didn't even think about it. That's the way it should have been. Oh, by the way, he was the pastor of the Church of Word of Life where I attended. And they invited me to leave quickly in a handwritten letter. Now I'm back and I'm in Word of Life and I'm not being asked to leave. So things get better. The head elder that signed the paper was there. The relatives that turned their back on me when things went wrong and just turned their back, they were there. And it was fine. Happy to buy their meal. Happy. Thank you for coming to my birthday. I didn't think about it at the party. I thought about that Sunday. God was making me think about that. Look what I've done in you. You didn't know me what I could have been capable of. You don't have the slightest idea what I was capable of. But it's all right. God has done the work. It started right there when that day I said, God, I'm ready to be hurt again. It started. Lay your weapons down. Lay your shields down. Because God's got you. You're a beauty and a treasure to Him. He's not turning you over to the wolves. Any wolves you got, you shot it. You stuffed it. It's your ornament. Get it out of your house. In Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19, verses 13 through 16, He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. You got this picture? I see, I'm going to try to pull you out of what you think you know. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. I thought it was Jesus Christ, first name, last name. No. No. His name is the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed Him on white horses. Now out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it He should strike the nations. And He Himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He Himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And He has on His robe and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, does that sound rather majestic? Does that sound exciting? If you're not a little bit of a warrior, it may not. But to me, it turns me on. Because I know I'm already part of that. Everybody thinks that's heaven. No, 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 no. That's now. That's now. How did Jesus get to dress like that? How did He get to looking like that? God the Father. How can I look like that? God the Father. All He has to do is say, you look like that, and boom, you're going to be on a horse. Everything's going to happen because He thinks so. Because He says so. Because He believes it. Now do you believe it? You know, most of us, we're in this fine robe. Who says so? God says so. We're so rich, we got money running out off of us. People trying to give it to us. The wealth of the wicked is stored up the righteous. Their assignment, Ecclesiastes 2:26, I think it is to go out and get money and bring it to me. That's what the Bible says. You know why it's not happening? Because I don't believe it. I don't see them doing it. I'm going to start making a commitment. I'm going to start seeing people walk to me with what they owe me. Not because I said so. Because I'm going to believe what God says so. I'm not going to see it because I want to see it. I'm going to see it because that's what God sees and He wrote it in His Word. I'm saved because He said so. I'm a treasure because He says so. I just got to get in line with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Quit trying to be one myself. You know, in the world, blood stains red. In the Spirit, blood stains white and removes all stains. It's better than that stuff they advertise on television all the time. Boxy clean. I've been dipped, and I've gone back a few more times for another dip. And I'm clean, and there's no stains. Yeah, but Stan, but. Don't give me no buts. That makes you one if you keep saying that. Don't do it. You are because God says so. You are what He says. And until you believe it, you won't be. But the minute you start seeing yourself the way He sees you, guess what's going to happen to your vision? How are you going to start seeing? If you start seeing the way God sees, you start seeing yourself the way God sees, and you get released and free, you may be like, boy, we may have to get the front seat with better pews because you're going to knock them down because you start seeing people the way God sees them. Or better yet, you know they're no good and you start seeing them that way and you change them with your sight. God's already been trying. Maybe He needs your help. I know He needs your help. It's the way He arranged the thing. Oh, well, don't argue with me. It's the truth. What does the blood bring? Or how does God see us through the blood? How does this make us see ourselves? Here's by the word what you are in the sight of God. I'm not going to ask you what you are in your sight because it's tainted and I want to get it cleaned up some. I want to wash you with some blood talk tonight. Is that okay? You are forgiven. Not because I say so. God says, I see you and you are forgiven. Man, I'm telling you something. If you could just get that down, you don't need the rest of these. They'll all come clear. I'm going to give you some more simply because you're not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm getting better. You're forgiven. But you don't know what I've done. Well, let's keep it that way. I'm not interested. It's not going to do any good to tell me. And by the way, if you've already gone in the blood and you've repented and you're sorry, then you're forgiven. And God don't want to hear it anymore. He thinks there's something wrong with you because you keep bringing it up. The blood washes your memory. I can testify that. She saw me flying across the room. God doing His work on me one time. I'm hard-headed too. He used to work hard on me sometimes. You're forgiven. You're free. You're free. You're free. The band that we brought down from, well, I saw them in Colorado there, from East Texas somewhere. One of their songs, after he said, I looked at my life and I never saw anything right. I blew it all. And he said, I asked God to baptize the rain. And he said, now, I live in forgiveness every day. I walk in forgiveness every day. How many of us walk in forgiveness? You know how we know if we're walking in forgiveness? Because it will affect those around us. First, I'll forgive me. Smile comes, peace comes, joy comes. And then, however it works its way out, I don't care, you'll begin to forgive others. Why? Because you're required to. God wants you out of the judgment seat. There's not room for two. There's only room for Him. There's no rumble seat, side seat, or room. You're free. You're loosed from anything that was holding you back. If you're truly born again, those things that were holding you back are no longer attached to you. But you don't know my education. It makes no difference. You don't know how ignorant I am. Well, I do. You're telling me you are, so I know. Don't tell me and I won't know. You don't know my background. I thought you were born again. Your background starts the day you were born again. Well, you don't know what my family did. Did your family swim the blood river? Where they did or where they didn't, you did. And no curse can go through that. Well, I got people out there sticking pins in dolls that look like me. So, I thought the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was what we looked like. Oh yeah, Jesus ducks when a pin comes out, right? Come on, laugh a little bit. We get that goofy. We need to laugh at it. Dolls come out. Somebody looks just like you, and you go, why don't you laugh? Why don't you see them sticking a pin in Jesus and say, stick one. Here, let me give you one. I got a knife here. Take something bigger. You think you can hurt me? Bring it on. You got to believe the word to do stuff like that. You're safe. You're not in peril. You're not in harm's way. You know why that storm didn't come here? Because my wife and I told it couldn't. Did we or did we not? Over and over and over. No. The newsman said, it's coming right here. We laugh at him. You're going to make a fool out of yourself arguing with a child of God. Don't you know who I am? Do you know who I am? You know why you don't know who I am? Because I haven't told you enough yet. I'm a child of God. I'm forgiven. I'm safe. I'm free. I'm loosed. I have dominion. Part of being saved is I become the head and not the tail. I rule and reign. Oh, except for storms, that's an act of God. Oh, you've been listening to too much TV. You're not going to find that in the Word. What is it coming out of your mouth for? An act of God is always good. That storm wasn't coming here. You know why? Because Monday my wife and I are going to be on a plane to Cozumel for 2 weeks. And I'm not having my house damaged, and I'm not having Cozumel damaged. Nothing's getting in the way of that trip. Well, that's selfish. You didn't hear me. God gives me the desires of my heart, then He fulfills the desires. Do you think God wants my house blown away where I can't make the trip? He wants my hotel in Cozumel blown away because I can't make the trip? What God do you serve? Stop listening to people. Stop listening to situations. Stop listening to threats. And you begin to listen to the Word of God and watch. Look, you've heard me stand up here and pray, God, let me see what you see and hear what you hear. You know what you're going to hear and see? You. And you're going to love what He says about you. Ask Him what He sees. He's going to see something that's far beyond anything that you can imagine. And it's you. Well, that's egotistical. So be it. I am Son of God. Are you? Did that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead come to you, dwell in you, and give life to you? That same Spirit that moved on Mary and gave Jesus life has done the same to you? Well, please don't go, if somebody says, I'm a Son of God. Because that shows, I'm not going to tell you what it shows. It just doesn't show well. You know what salvation is? What the blood of Jesus in me and on me does? Provides for me. Well, I've got this job, and it provides. Well, don't get rid of the job, but get rid of the thought that it's your provision. You stick with that job until better provision comes along, and then you give God the credit and don't say you did it. All provision, by the way. You know where it puts us? My wife was pretty afar off. She's prettier real close. Y'all ain't never going to find that out. Listen to me. There's a place with God that's intimate. He says I'm pretty when I'm far off. What do you think He says when I'm close? See, what we need to be after, I've got the Word. It tells me who I am and what I am. But then there's this place in the Holy of Holies, the intimate times, when He writes on my heart who I am. Oh, a little wine, blood, a little dinner, a little candlelight with God. And He begins to move in on me. And He gives me life and that more abundantly. And He writes things on my heart that I can never forget. And it changes me instantly. Salvation, more than that, causes a relationship. It causes me to be in the garden once again. In the cool of the day, naked as a jaybird. Nothing to hide. Here I am, God. I let your blood take away the stains. Not one stain is between you and I. Not one doubt, not one piece of fear, not one little bit of unbelief is going to get in between you and I. Whew. Man, he says, that's my gal. That's my bride. That's my son. That's my daughter. I don't care how you call it. You just get there. You know what the blood of Jesus does? God sees and calls you healed. You look in the mirror and you look in and you say, I got this thing, I got that thing. Well, quit getting it. Cast it on God and see if that makes a dent in Him. The blood causes Him to see me as I really am. Don't miss this point. Over and over, I got to say it to you. The blood of Jesus, when He looks at me, they're vision correctors, and it causes Him to see how I really am. And I am really healed. Well, I saw you limp the other day. I said, I'm healed. I didn't ask for your vision. I'm using the vision of God. I'm not going over here and taking a limp to the doctor and have his opinion when I already have God's opinion. I'm healed. You don't believe it? You just keep watching. Stan, you just keep watching. And you're going to see exactly like God sees. When that doctor was looking at me and saying, your back is broken. No, ma'am, it isn't. Well, I have the x-rays. See, I wasn't smart enough to say, but I have God's x-ray vision. I said, I am not, I do not, and I will not have a broken back. I argued with that lady and I won the argument. She got tired of arguing. It's always good to have the last word. It's the last word that stands. Let it be God's word to be the last word. She says, it's too late to argue with you. I'll be back in the morning. She comes back in the morning. She said, I don't understand. The x-ray's changed. What do you mean it's changed? Well, we put them up there on the screen and I circled there where the problem is. The circle's there and the problem's not. Told you. told you so. She said, well, I don't care. You can't get up. She said, you got such a wound on your back, you can't get up. I said, ma'am, if you'll get me my pants and you get outside this screen, I'll show you what I can do. She was just about right, but she wasn't right. I got up and I walked out of there. She stood amazed. She had a testimony. I don't know if it changed her. It did me. Why? Because I saw myself healed. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Listen, people, there's no accident. There's no threat. There's nothing in the whole world that's more powerful than God saying nothing. Nada. No weapon formed against you can prosper. See the way God sees. Look through His bloody glasses and watch it be clear. Everything you'll see, white as snow, pure. You're safe. You have a future and you have no viable threat in your life. Why? Because that's the way God sees it. You know, God doesn't get up in the morning and say, what have I got to protect him for today? I've got to protect him today. Man, I can see down the road this stuff is coming at him and I've got to get busy. I've got to... Oh, please. The blood. The blood is not only just a cleaner. It's a protector. It's better than Scotch Guard. Now, some of us need to hear this as much as any, and that is we're wise. Not in our own eyes. See, God said, I give you the mind of Christ. And we say, oh, you're dumb. You say it to yourself. I was dumb. How do you know it was dumb? How do you know what you last did was dumb? The outcome's not, it's not finished. I can tell you, I've done a lot of dumb things that were good. Why? Because God says what was meant for bad, I'll turn to good. Did you know something? I got to lower this one on you. I am perfect. Now, I know my wife would be the first to agree with that. But all those things are. Anyway, God sees you as perfect. Perfect. Why? Well, because you are. Whose eyes count? Mine or His? Yours or His? Do you know what? He didn't even ask you if you were. He just said you are. In Him, you are. In His vision, you are. Out of His mouth, you're perfect. We'll argue. We are so goofy. We argue with God. We're overcomers. You know what that means? I'm stronger than any comer. I'm more than any foe that's coming. I'm the head, not the tail. What does that mean? I'm in control. Why? God says, I want you to rule and reign. He said that to you. A ruler, a reigner, cannot be out of control. So I'm in control. How do I know? Because God said so and He sees me that way. I need to begin to see it the way God sees it. Quit arguing with His corrected vision. If you argue with it, ask Him to correct your vision. A little more blood on the eyes. So that you can begin to see like He sees. What's that going to help? Oh, your friends are going to get prettier. Your spouse is going to get prettier. Your children are going to get prettier. The world will get prettier. Because you begin to see like He sees. Now this is a good one. You become fearless. You want to know if you're saved or not? If you're afraid of everything, you're not. Go for another dip. You missed the last one. You just got a little bit. That may be a little facetious, but get with it. Do something about it. If you find yourself afraid of everything, act on it. Go to God. Say, how do I get this fixed? He said, another dip. Well, God, I'm going to go dip. When I come up, could you give me your sight? Could you give me your vision? Could you show me what I am? I'm bolder than a lion. Thank you, God. Not much response on that. I said you're supposed to be fearless. You're not even supposed to be afraid to say amen. Fearless. How could you not be fearless? With all the examples in the Bible given to you. With all the promises and with all the directions. Oh, you have little faith every time you fail. Oh, you have little faith because fear negates faith. Actually, let me say it correctly. Fear is dark faith. You just got the wrong faith. Oh, I got to put boards up on windows. The storm's coming. Is that your faith? I'm not going to ask you to put boards up. Fearless. Then with the fearless becomes boldness. As you become less fearful, you become more bold. I didn't say more loud. I didn't say braggadocious. I said you're bold. What does bold mean? That means those things that you know are coming at you, you don't even turn your back anymore. You look at it and say, oh, really? You think you can do that? I remember one time having a heart attack that nearly killed me when I was young. And because of that one event, my friends, my family prayed me right out of that. Didn't have the strength to even pray. I realized what happened. I realized God was there. I began to see what God was doing and how He does it. You know what happened from then on? I could feel that coming back. Mostly fear, but there were pains and there was threats. You know what I got? I bought me the best running shoes. And every time the devil would come, I'd say, "Okay, devil." And I'd go put my shorts and my shoes on. And I'd put those running shoes on and said, "Here's your chance. If you can do it, do it." You know what? I gave him the invitation and he couldn't take advantage of it. Why? Because his teeth had been pulled. He's all mouth. He does not have a God backing him. Are you hearing me? He's all mouth and he doesn't have a God backing him. My mouth is backed by God. So if you think you can do it, you just come on. When the dust settles, I'm going to be here and you're going to be destroyed. My testimony will be stronger and you will have defeat. My wife didn't get me this watch. My son did. I can't. You don't have the patience. I have some good scripture for you, but I'm going to do it later. I want to tell you, God is good. There are songs out there that men that have been moved on by God write. And you know what God showed me today? As I was out there in that hot tub, songs come out of you. You should be able to sing to God. I don't care if you sing or not. I don't care if it sounds good or not. Speak to Him. But a lot of times the old hymns, like, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And I started singing that when the Holy Spirit said, I heard Him sing, "Oh, how I love Stan." The guy that heard the song and wrote it down the first time, he misheard it. God was trying to tell him how much He loved him. And it so excited him, he reversed it and said, "I love you." Okay, well, it's okay, but God wants to sing to us and tell us things. "You are so beautiful to me." And I sing that to God, and today I heard Him saying it to me. "Man, You're the reason I'm living. You're the breath that I take. You're the stars in my heaven. You're the sun when I wake. You're the reason I do things. You're the things that I do. You're the reason I'm living. I'd be lost without You." And I heard God sing it back to me. He's telling me. Now I feel like getting up on the pew. He's telling me that He'd be lost without me. Is that you? Would you accept the fact that God would sing these songs to you? Then ask Him to. Get close enough to hear. All the stuff, all the garbage that the devil brings up and keeps you at a distance, the blood took it away. Don't stand at a distance. Move in. And don't be afraid that He's going to say, "Hold on for a minute, I got this phone call." You are the phone call. And the reason He's on the phone with you is because you stay away. Get in there where He can whisper. I got one more thing I've got to correct. Sunday morning, Pastor Doyle asked me to get up here. And he said, "Where did you get those muscles?" And I answered him in a way that, as I realized later, it sounded like I was mocking him. And I apologize for that because that's not what I meant. I said an angel gave them to me. I am so thankful that angels visit and they do the work that's required for me to be more than a conqueror. But when I was in high school, I weighed 145 pounds. I had about a 28-inch waist. When I got out of high school, I was the same way. God knows what we have need of. I was in college, I don't know, second year, whatever, I don't really remember, but I decided that I would take a weightlifting class. Just old manual weights. I was bored. Needed a little exercise in between classes. One semester. In one semester, I gained 100 pounds. I went from about a 13-inch neck until today I still have an 8.5 to 19-inch. It was about 20 inches then. They call me Popeye because my arms swole up. I broke wrenches and I broke bolts and I was breaking people's hands. Do you realize what... I was going up and shaking hands and people were running because I didn't realize that the strength had increased so much. Listen to me, this is all spiritual application. It's a physical thing that God meant for spirit. And I had to learn that when I face a woman, just put a limp wrist out there because otherwise I'm going to hurt her. The same application began to hurt. I lost weight. I tried to lose weight, but I couldn't lose the muscle. Now it's getting time where I don't carry so much. Why? You know what he said? You said, if I go into battle, I want to go with you. Why? You said, because he's that strong in the spirit. Are you hearing what's being said here? God knew that I need to be built up out here as I was being built up in here. Why? Don't know. Don't have an expectation. Don't care. I want to see what God sees. I want to see Pastor Doyle. I want to see that angel sitting beside him. I want to see that angel saying, I'm taking your cares and your worries and your pain and your fear and your guilt. Why? Because then it'll help me see me better. I will be able to see through God's eyes better. When I testify to you about the healing of a broken back and the healing of a daughter and too many other things that we can talk about, I want you to get a hold of that and see the heart of God in these situations. That's what a testimony is for, so that you can see the heart of God. When you see the heart of God, you will understand how He sees. And when you figure out how He sees, and ask Him to cause you to see like He sees, and watch Him change your world. Watch Him give you a song that you never heard before. Watch Him define things to you like you've never understood them before. Watch your friends start to back away from you just a little bit and say, what's wrong with him? Not a thing. You want some? I got some. I'll stand. Now, if there's anybody here tonight that has never visited this blood, this offering that God the Father paid so dearly for and Jesus gave His life for, if you've never had that before, I would so much like to see you come down and admit it and let us pray with you or stand with you or whatever it takes, so that you get to know this God that I'm talking about. Don't miss an opportunity like this. It's too good a God. He's too good. He has nothing but good for you. You have nothing to fear. I'll say it again. If there's anyone here, please come. Please. Don't be ashamed of God, or He'll be ashamed of you. The blood of Jesus is all you need. It clears the vision. It clears God's. It clears yours. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Life. Life. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? I'm telling you, if you just need another dip, it's a good time. If any of this you don't have or you don't enjoy, please come. God is beginning to do miraculous things at a speed that we're not going to be able to keep up with. We need to be ready. Hallelujah. See, just like you and I, we have to believe that what I've talked about tonight is real. It's not a sales pitch. It's not a gimmick to fill a church. It's the truth that fills the kingdom. Party down here. It's a good place to be. ask you, what is it that you want of God tonight? Have you ever given your heart to God? You washed in the blood, confessed your sins, called Jesus Lord, right? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say it to everybody again here tonight, or I say it to her. What you want is what He wants. He put that in you to come down here so that He could minister to you in the way He wants. He wants your family taken care of. He wants you close to Him more than you do. And so for that to come out in your heart with tears, all it is a response to what He wants. Now you trust Him. You trust Him. And your life will never be the same. You stop worrying about your family and cast your worries on Him. Because that's what salvation does. It gives you the freedom to let Him worry about things. When you catch yourself worrying, say, I'm sorry, God. I shouldn't be doing that. Here, I give it to You. Just do that. I don't care if it takes 100 times a day. You do it until it's the way you live. It's not the way you think. It's the way you live. God has given you what you want tonight. But more than that, He's given you more than you've asked for. So you be expecting, eyes wide open, looking for extra things that He's going to do to you and for you and through you that you've never expected. And you make sure to be quick to give Him the praise. Okay? Praise God. Take it. Go, take it. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? All hearts and minds clear? See, I can be here all night for this kind of stuff. I don't have any place better to be. We've got many Christians that are so beat up, so worried, so fearful, they're teetering. They're about to turn their backs on God. They don't even know it. And the press is, come on, come back. He might even be saying, give me another chance. I'll show you. I'll show you what I can do. Oh yeah, He's going to show us. There's no doubt. He's already doing it. But it's one of the reasons I want to tell you tonight, get your eyes open and see what God's doing. Because you'll see it before anybody else does if you do that. Hallelujah. I wish I could be here. No, I will be here Sunday morning. Next Wednesday night I won't be here. The next Wednesday night after that I won't be there. But I promise, in Jesus' name, I'll be thinking about you. I won't be worrying about you. And I don't think I'm going to try to miss you. No. I appreciate that. Maybe I will. Praise God. You want to close with prayer? Father, I thank You tonight. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt You've accomplished Your mission and Your goal tonight. For those that didn't need to hear tonight, I thank them for giving their time so this one can be helped. For those that were helped and they didn't come down, I give You praise. And I ask You, Lord, to give them a double blessing. Show Yourself strong and show Yourself quick in their lives. And be such a blessing to this group tonight as they go to sleep. Keep them awake a little bit. Just keep them excited. Minister to them. Wake them up early. Tell them, don't be mad at me. I just want to be with you. Let them know that You're there. Keep them in perfect peace. Let their rest be fast. And we're looking forward to Sunday. We're looking forward to the lives that are going to be changed, the things that are going to be accomplished for the kingdom. I speak the word has gone deep in these lives. They have received it with thanksgiving. It will bring forth the harvest that You have designed. It is done, and it is done in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Praise the Lord.